God knows what He's doing, and He doesn't make any mistakes. Turn in your Bible to the Song of Solomon, please, and chapter number 2 this morning. Solomon's Song and chapter number 2. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 this morning as we take our text. And you read along with me, please. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake, and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our grapes have tender grapes, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word in the morning hour. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the good singing, the good testimonies, the good fellowship. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence and for Your people. Thank You for the privilege to be in the house of God. I pray that You'll help the preacher this morning. I need help, Lord, with my throat today. I need a little grace there. And Lord, I need God's power and liberty in the house of God. I need a little wisdom this morning, Lord, to try to maintain the Spirit's direction of the service through this message. Lord, I've got the outline, but I pray God will help me to get in line. Lord, You'll help me to say everything that it needs to be said this morning to bring sinners to a place of repentance, bring God's people likewise. Lord, fill our hearts full of joy and grace. And may the Son of God be magnified in our midst today. Help us, I pray, to continue to praise the Lamb of God. And we'll thank You and praise You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our text is found this morning in verse number 15, where Solomon says there, Take us the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And as I said a little earlier, there's really three different sermons there that I'd like to preach one on each one. But if God will help me, I want to divide them up a little bit and preach on one of them this morning. And if God will give me the time this afternoon to develop, take the other two thoughts and bring them in the evening hour. But notice what Solomon says, Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. There's been much said about the little foxes and what they are and how they spoil the vines. And if God would help me this morning, I want to try to preach for a little while on little foxes as compared to sin in our lives. It is the little foxes that spoil the vines. And I'll assure you this morning, it is not sins of great magnitude at Island Ford that's hindering the work of God. But it is those little foxes that we hold dear to our heart. It's not the big things that trouble us today. It's the little things. And notice that the word foxes is in plural. It's not just a singular fox or a singular sin. It is a multitude of those. You know, you can take something small and add to it and keep adding to it, and eventually it will enlarge itself and become a monstrosity. And sin never starts big. It's like leprosy, church, that always begins very small. Leprosy begins with just a small bump somewhere on the body. But it will soon spread, rapidly spread, until it will eventually consume the whole body of man. And so it is with sin in our members. It starts out a very small thing, and if it's not soon brought into check, it will magnify itself and become exceedingly large in our lives. And the larger it grows, the more it hinders you and I in our service to God and deprives us of the great blessings and the fellowship that the Lord would desire for you and I to have. And so it's the little foxes this morning that destroy the vines, that spoil the vines until they provide not for the honor and the glory of God. Now, who spake these words in verse 15 have brought at least three different opinions from three different commentators on the subject. And some say that they could be the words of the church whom the care of the vineyard was committed to. Now, I want to say, my friend, that it is, or it has been, the vineyard has been committed unto our care. We are responsible for the vineyard. God has set a great wine press in the vineyard. And He expects, dear friend, when He comes to find grapes on the vine, and He expects to find the product of those grapes coming forth out of the wine press. And God has made us responsible people. We are responsible to Him for our own conduct. We are responsible to Him how we conduct ourselves in the house of God. We are responsible to Him how we conduct our business in our homes and in our family lives. And I tell you, if we're not real careful, my friend, those little foxes will creep into our lives and begin to gnaw on our vine until our home is in shambles. The church has no biblical Holy Ghost power whatsoever, and our own lives are nothing but a drag. We don't enjoy coming to the house of God. I tell you, my friend, that is one of the greatest sins in the church, is neglecting our own hearts and letting the little foxes nibble away on our own heart until we do not enjoy coming to the house of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I started to title this message this morning on Eat Up with Church. Hallelujah to God. I'm here to tell you we ought to get eat up alive with the church. Amen. I'll never forget some years ago over around Cumberland Falls, Miss Hall bought me a little bitty old plaque with a flag on it, I think maybe a Christian flag, and it's got an English walnut sitting on that little old thing, and it's got written on there, Church Nut. And I'm telling you, I'm a church nut this morning. I think we ought to get eat up with the house of God and let our lives revolve around the house of God and be sold out and dedicated to the house of God and support the house of God, be a member of the house of God. Hey, and by the way, love the God who died for the house of God enough to honor Him and worship Him when we come together in the church house. Hallelujah to God. And so we've got a responsibility to the vineyard. And that vineyard's been committed to us. Or it could have been spoken both by Christ and His church, to whom the foxes, my friend, are common enemies. For it does say, take us, the foxes, the little foxes. Now I'm here to tell you that the enemies of Christ ought to be enemies of the church today. Son, if you pamper and pet sin, you mark her down that there's coming a day when you're going to wind up in trouble, amen, with Almighty God. Folks today want to treat sin like it's a cream puff. But it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. Oh, preacher, I'm not a whoremonger. I'm not an adulterer. I don't drink liquor. I don't cuss and carouse. I don't do any of those kind of things. I understand that, but I also understand that it's the little things that have crept into our life. Just a little love for the world. Just a little. Hey, and by the way, I'm going to say this, and if you bow up, you can bow up. But I'm telling you, friend, basketball and football and baseball are not the only worldly events that God disapproves of. God does not approve of you and I rubbing shoulders with anybody out in the world in their little worldly sports events that they might have. Those little things will lead to larger things that will deprive you and I of the blessings of God. That's right. I don't care where it's at. I don't care where it's at. We got no. Now, I know I'm not griping about you taking vacation. Son, I'm talking about those little worldly events that we attach ourselves to under the disguise of recreation and tell our heart, you know, I've just got to have a little bit of recreation. I've got to get away a little bit. I'm going to tell you, if you'd get away and crawl up in the bosom of Christ, my friend, you could find all the recreation your life could stand just drawing up close to the bosom of God. Those little foxes that spoil the vines. And they are enemies of Christ and they're enemies of the church. And if they're His enemy, they ought to be ours, whatever they are. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Therefore, whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. I did not say that. Paul didn't say that. James didn't necessarily say that. But Almighty God said that, my friend. Amen to God. But I tell you, these words really, to me, seem to be written but Christ, because He is the owner of the vineyard. That's right. He's the owner of the vineyard. And He has authoritative power over it. If you read in the parable of that vineyard in the book of Luke and Matthew, you'll understand exactly what I'm preaching about. Son, He has got authoritative power over the vineyard. Somebody said, hey, I don't like His vineyard. I do. I like work in the vineyard. You know one thing I like about it? Everybody is going to be treated fairly. Amen. Those of us that have borne the labor and the heat of the day for a number of years will receive a penny. My friend, just like those that have labored in the vineyard for 1 hour, God will reward all of us accordingly. You mark her down. Now I'm telling you, there is a reward coming from He that has the authority over the vineyard. Hallelujah to God. And He warns us, take us, the little foxes that spoil the vines. And oh, now let me just blow this out. I may not preach them all this morning.
Amen. When he said, take us the foxes, every commentator I read after agreed that that statement was made to the ministers of the gospel. Take us the foxes, the little foxes. In other words, you ministers of the gospel, put your gospel plow down now, friend. Amen to God. And plow out the little foxes that spoil the vine. Get the plow down deep in the earth. Minister of the gospel where that sin is and where it's been hidden. And plow it out to the glory of God.
A lot of folks fuss at Brother Hall because I preach on little nitpicky things. And I'm telling you, the little nitpicky things is what's killing us. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Our vines have tender grapes. God said, hey, you better take those foxes, my friend, that are destroying the vines because they have tender grapes. You know what that means? They're not fully developed. They're still a little bit sour. There are some of us in here today that haven't grown into a full-fledged sweet grape on the vine. Some of you in here are yet young and yet tender in Christ. I'm telling you, the little foxes, by the way, like sin and like the servants of Satan, will spoil the young converts. Oh yes, I know what I'm saying. If you listen to their deceptive voices, they'll drag you down a primrose path, my friend, where you'll ultimately be spoiled and have no effect in your service for Almighty God. There's two things there those foxes represent. They represent sin and they represent the servants of Satan. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, those servants of Satan can transform themselves into an angel of light and deceive you. You better believe they will. Buddy, them foxes are crafty devils. Cunning little rascals they are. Oh, yes, it can lure you. You know what a fox will do? A fox, my friend, will lay down on the ground and wallow in red dirt and lay down on the ground and lay there just like he's dead. And a bird may fly in to peck at him a little bit. Amen. Some little old young bird, like some young Christian, oh yeah, drawn to that egg sucker that's pretending to be something that he is not. But the minute that little bird lands on that fox that he thinks is dead, he realizes that fox is very much alive. And a fox has a bird for lunch. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, that the workers of Satan, my friend, can have some little foxes with tender vines. They can have you for lunch today if you're not careful. You ain't left me yet, have you? Huh? But I believe this is Jesus speaking. Well, he's got the power over the vineyard. He is the authoritative figure in the vineyard. But I say, regardless of which one of them is speaking, one thing is for sure. The foxes are enemies. The foxes are enemies of both. And they do spoil the vines. Now, don't nobody leave me right here. Stay with me. You know what that word spoil means? That one, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but that word spoil means to wind tightly as a rope. It'll tighten you up, friend, just like taking a rope that's made of hemp and twisting that hemp together and binding it together and tightening it up and making a rope out of it. And here's what I got out of that. Those little vines have the ability, or those little foxes have the ability to tighten up things down at the house of God. I'll tell you, you wonder why we don't have the liberty in here, my friend, that we ought to have. It's because of those little sins, those little foxes that have tightened things up and deprived us of the liberty of the good grace of God to come to the house of God and to worship God and to sing His praises and adore Him and to fellowship with one another. It is those little foxes that have tightened this church down this morning. I know that's right. Those little foxes will tighten her up, buddy. Hey, that's right. Hallelujah to God. They'll tighten her up. And it also means to writhe in pain. It means to writhe in pain. I want to ask you something this morning. What do you do when you experience pain? What would you do if I walked out there this morning with a match and struck a match and stuck it to your naked skin? Come on now. Come on now. I'm going to tell you what you'd do. Son, you'd draw back, would you not? Now, amen, because of the pain. Now, I'm telling you, the pain, the spiritual pain of those little sins in our life will cause us to draw back on God. And if we draw back on God and tighten her down at the house of God, you can't mark her down. We're going to be deprived of the presence of God. And without the presence of God, there ain't much going on to the house of God. Are y'all listening to me? Now, I've got 5 points on these foxes. I'm trying to split this thing up and shorten it as much as I can. These foxes, these sins, these little foxes, can be compared this morning to the sins and corruptions of humanity in their little form, in their little way. Sins and corruptions. Those sins that defile our members. Those little foxes that nobody knows is there but you and God. Doesn't affect anybody. Look here, and I'm learning some things. It, God, nobody has to be affected in the church but the Holy Ghost to tighten her down. Oh, yes, sir. We can come into this church and all of us have an attitude, my friend, of just wonderful happenings. I mean, our attitude is right. But if there is sin, little foxes in our life, and the Holy Ghost knows are there, the Holy Ghost will draw back and tighten her down, and we'll be deprived of the presence of God down at His house. Those little sins, friend. Amen to God. Sins and corruptions of humanity. Sins that will tighten up the church, deprive us of liberty. Sins that will cause us to draw back and deprive us of progress. Sins that will cause us to dry up and deprive us of fruit. Oh yeah, those little foxes, when the vines are skinned and scarred and bruised and bitten and clawed, there's a little fruit hanging there, my friend, but it is so dry, rather than being a grape, it looks like we got a pot of raisins. I'm afraid that's where we're at this morning. Raisins instead of grapes. I'm glad God squeezed some of our old hearts this morning. Got a little grape juice running out the corner of some of you's eyes. Amen. I'll say something about that. It might loosen up a little bit here in a minute. Got to get through the introduction a little bit, don't we? What about those sins, huh? What about those sins? I say that it represents the depths of those sins the foxes do. Just how deep. Now, everybody look, don't leave me now. The depth of sins. Those little foxes, they're not, my friend, easily recognized. There's some sins that are very easily recognized. If a man smokes a cigarette, I don't have any problem seeing that cigarette. Well, if a man cusses, I don't have any problem hearing his mouth. Oh no! If a man, my friend, if a man is a drunkard, I don't have any problem recognizing that. I'm going to tell you what those little foxes are. And the depth of that sin represents are those sins that are secret and concealed and hidden that nobody knows is there but God Almighty Himself. Oh yeah, we've come a long way. We've cut our hair. Women growed it out. Television's gone. Long dresses on. Pants on men. We wouldn't wear Bermuda shorts, my friend, if we had to. But what about those little foxes that are down deep that nobody knows anything about but you and God? You ain't left me, have you? Now somebody said, preacher, where do you get that? Where do foxes live? They not only live in a hole, but foxes have their lurking places in the earth. They live in the holes of the earth. And that's right. And so have these in the hearts of men where they can lay a law
long time undiscovered. I'm here to tell you now, friend, there are sins that will hide themselves in the heart of man that can lay there undiscovered for a long, long, long time. And it's those little secret undiscovered sins that is spoiling the vine and depriving us of the fruit of the vineyard to the glory and honor of God at Island Ford Baptist Church. Y'all haven't departed yet, have you? I hate to be a skinning you like this after we song service like we have. But I tell you, I guess God, I'm sure God knows what He's doing. Huh? I've seen folks smile and sing in the choir. I've seen them shout and run the aisles. Man, I've seen them sing special music. I've even seen some of them preach, teach Sunday school, and some die and die. There's a little fox that's way down deep in the earth. And by the way, down in the dirt, that's where the real problems are, friend. Are down deep in the dirt, in the earth. Down in the dirt, in the wildness of our souls is what God wants to try to root out of our hearts this day. Now, I'm not so sure that's not what He's going to try to root out this week. So somebody said, I can't stand it. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can handle it. Praise God, you can handle it. You're a bunch of tough cookies, buddy. You can puke it up. I can puke it up. Oh, yes, sir. That's right. I've known folks for years. I've known folks for years. And them come to me and tell me about some sin that's been laying down in their heart. My friend, that nobody, you wouldn't dream of it. You wouldn't, and I'll guarantee you, my friend, if folks was to stand up in here this morning and go to telling you what all has been running through the thoughts of their mind that nobody knows about but them and God. Come on now. Been there for a long time. Amen! Oh yeah, thoughts of lust. Oh yeah, lusting after women. Yes, sir! Looking at the wrong kind of paperwork, gentlemen. And maybe ladies too, yes sir. Entertaining the wrong kind of thoughts. I tell you, old brother Peter knew what he was talking about when he said, gird up the loins of our mind, because in our mind is nothing but a cesspool of filth and sin. And if we're not careful, those little foxes, my friend, will creep up into our mind, into our thoughts. You know what they do when they creep up into your mind? The thoughts of that sin will crowd out the thoughts of Christ. And he that thinks upon us, we'll never think upon him. Because we're thinking upon everything else. Boy, I'll tell you, I can see some of you kind of pulling, kind of tugging. I can feel that drawing back. I can feel that. That's what they do. They draw back. Those little foxes will not come to the light lest they be exposed, my friend. But I'm going to tell you, you'll never have the blessings of God until you find yourself an old-fashioned altar and crawl up in under it in a humble manner and find yourself at the throne of God's grace and beg God, my friend, to purify your heart and purify your mind and to clean up your life from those little foxes that are spoiling the vines and drying you up and depriving you of the fruit of God. That's right. Somebody said, what do you do, preacher, about the depths of those little foxes? I'm glad, thank God, Brother Andy, that there is a spirit that searches the deep things of God. Oh, yes, sir, buddy. He can get into your conscience where Brother Hall can't get. Oh, he can stir up something way down deep in your mind that Brother Hall is not able to stir up. For the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. Oh, yes, sir. And I'm telling you, it's like the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The Holy Ghost in the Word of God now, friend, will divide you asunder to the soul and the spirits and the joints and the marrow. And the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, yes, sir. You better believe, my friend, if you're a saved child of God, that the Holy Ghost this morning will search out the deep things of your heart and bring those little foxes to surface. Now I'm going to ask you, Brother Steve asked the Sunday school hour, said, what would you do with this man Christ? What will you do with the little foxes? Huh? The Spirit searches the deep things of God. Now I'm going to tell you, the Spirit discovers our vile affections. Paul does speak of those vile affections. Those little secret things that we hold dear to our heart that nobody knows anything about. Might be a magazine under the bed. Come on now, don't leave me. It just might be a sinful thought about somebody in this church. It might be a wanton thought, a worldly thought, some kind of a wicked thought, some fleshly, worldly, carnal desire that nobody knows that you have but you and God. And it's tucked away way down deep in your heart. But I'm telling you, my friend, it's a clawing away at your vine. No wonder our knowledge is so shallow. No wonder our wisdom, my friend, stands at naught. No wonder our love for Christ has grown cold. No wonder our love for sinners is not what it ought to be. We've allowed that little sin in our life to deprive us of a warm, loving heart to Christ and those around us that we might win them to God. The Spirit will bring them out of their lurking places. Now that's when the rubber meets the road. That's when we start getting nervous. That's when we come to the preacher and start shuffling our feet and dropping our head and we're ashamed of what's going on. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I don't know. I know Cater was in Vietnam. I don't think anybody else was in here. I'm going to tell you, every now and then we'd go by a bunker in Vietnam and old Charlie would be holding up in that bunker. Somebody said, well, that was uncalled for. Well, it's what I was ordered to do, and I've done it. Didn't have a choice. But you could call to them. They wasn't about to come out. I'm going to tell you something. You can call to them little sins in those lurking places in your heart all you want, and they ain't coming out. It'll take the Holy Ghost to search and to bring them out of their lurking places. Make me wealthy. You're a fool, sir. You are an absolute fool to labor for meat that perishes. Huh? Now I'm going to tell you, some of you women in here like to get out on the workforce. But I'm here to tell you something, friend. It'll grab a hold of you. You go on out there. Jump on out there. I mean, just a little while. A little thing. Won't be there long. That's exactly what Elimelech, my friend, and Naomi thought when they traipsed off down into Moab, they said, we won't be there in a while. And I'm going to tell you, after they got there, they tarried there and sojourned there, and that woman married a husband and two boys down in that land. Now I'm telling you, it'll sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you there a whole lot longer than you want to stay. It's deceptive, my friend. Those little foxes' sin starts out small. She'll get bigger. She'll get bigger. This led people to believe I'm just going to just make enough money that I can live. I've just got to get my head above water. Have you ever tried prayer? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If God wants you to have money, He is wise enough to send that money through your husband. And if your husband's too lazy and can't motivate himself to do right and try to get above his head above water, sink about 6 inches of that coal where the sun don't shine, ladies. Somebody said, I'm to be in subjection to my husband. I understand that, buddy. But sometimes they get a little slothful. They need motivated just a tad bit. Some folks are deceived about profit. Some are deceived about pleasures. Old Solomon looked at them women and said, oh my God, if I could just have all these ladies, ooh-wee. Oh, King, if I could just have more women, boy, hallelujah to God. All I need is another woman. Another woman led to another woman. And it wasn't long till they had 300 wives and 700 concubines.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, I've got to have this woman. I've got to have that woman. I mean, it's deceptive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, flesh is flesh and sin is sin. You better anchor your soul in one woman, one man. Bless your heart and stay there. Somebody said, what happens, Brother Hall, if we lose the one we got? I'm going to tell you what Paul said. Paul said, if your husband leaves, don't look for another one. If your wife leaves, don't look for another one. Just stay that way. Somebody said, oh, I just can't stay that way. But I'm telling you, the Bible says stay that way. Until she dies. See, our problem is that little sin. We look upon that girl, oh, I just got to have that little girl. But what we don't see is our lives devastated and destroyed by that little sin of lust, not waiting on God, not being patient on God, just going after everything that we got to have. And it's fallen to vice. It's fallen to vice pleasure. Worldly pleasures. Wicked pleasures. Oh, you know what Solomon learned, ladies and gentlemen, at the close of his life, when he had sought pleasure in every aspect of life? He said, it's vanity. All vanity. I'm telling you, the pleasure of this life is a snare of sin and Satan. I'm going to tell you what we better do, folks. Instead of trying to lay up treasures on this side, and if God blesses you, I'm all in for that. And I hope He does. We could use some more time. God blesses you, I'm all in for that. But I'm telling you what we better do. We better lay up some treasures in heaven and get spiritually wise. That's right. Instead of chasing skirts, we better seek God. That's right. Instead of laboring for that which perisheth, we better labor for that which perisheth not, where thieves don't break through and steal and walk, don't corrupt, rust, don't get fit. We better lay up our treasures over on the other side. And then, you know, there's some folks, like Lot, they'll seek pleasures in worldliness. Then that old deceitful, it'll deceive you and give you the notion of profit, the notion of pleasures, and the notion of honor. You know what old Balaam said? Old Balak told Balaam, said, come on over! Curse the people of God, son. It's got quiet now, and I don't give a bleep. Come on over and curse the people of God, and I'll give you a place of great honor. And I'm telling you, there have been a lot of people that's been deceived, friend, by sin, that's tried to slay the man of God, looking for a little bit of honor in the church. Oh, I want the church to honor me like they honor him. I want to have a little bit of that authority and that position like the preacher's got. I'm here to tell you that's sin in your membership, and it'll deceive you and slay you and leave you laying in a dung pile. You better believe I'm telling it right. Old Balaam said, praise God, I'll curse the people of God, and look what I'll be if Balak will honor me. And there have been a whole lot of them today, Brother Marcus, winning away. The heir of Balaam, thinking he can curse that which God has blessed. Thinking he can have that which is not his, that God's given to somebody else. And I'm telling you, that's always the thoughts of a worldling. Are you hearing me this morning? That worldling, you mark it down, they will always want what God has given to the spiritual, and they cannot have it, God, because it's not theirs, it's God's. God, have mercy on us. Oh, how deceitful, and crafty, and cunning sin can be in our members. Make our minds, lead our minds to believe something that's not real. God, help us. What about the distortions? That fox can be compared to the distortions. How does God tell us to walk? That's rightly, don't He? Straightforward. How many in here have seen a fox trying to trot down through the woods? Did he have? Is he back there? Brother Robert had. Did he ever trot down through the woods and look at you, Brother Robert? And he's running away from you. See him do that? unless I'm wrong, here's how they run. They don't run straight. They're crooked. They run lopsided, son. I've watched them. They don't know anything about walking straight forward. And I'm here to tell you, sin will distort things. Let me just nail this down. Sin will distort the simplicity that is in Christ and the simplicity that is in the salvation that God has provided for you. I'm telling you, friend, that sin will tell you you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And I don't give a flip if that crowd out there is listening. I'm not worried about that crowd. And I'm telling you, sin has told that crowd if they'll get baptized in a pool of water, everything will be all right. Oh, let that baptistry wash away your sins. I'm going to tell you, there's sin of prayer that I've got to help God do something. You can't help God do a thing in your life. I'm here to tell you, my friend, sin, those crafty little foxes, will distort God's way of salvation. That's right. And not only that, but you've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Distorting the way of salvation. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's always some smooth-tongued servant of Satan standing in the pulpit. Amen. That'll distort the way of salvation. You've got to speak in some unknown tongue. My God, my God, my God. And people are so carried away, their hearts have been deceived. And sin has distorted the purity and the simplicity that is in Christ and in the way of salvation that God's provided. Somebody said, how's He provided them? Praise God, I'm glad you... No, I'm going to tell you how He provided. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Hallelujah to His name. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Being justified. But freely by His grace we have peace with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. I'm justified. Therefore, being justified by His blood. Somebody said, what are you? I'm speaking about the distortions of sin. Those little foxes that distort the way of salvation. Now, I'm here to tell you, you can say whatever you want to say. But if a man is putting his faith and confidence in his salvation, in anything other than the unadulterated, pure mercy and grace of God, he's a lost man. Don't add to Calvary. Oh, I believe in salvation by grace, but you got to be baptized. Hob Malone and Bull. Bring your Bible over here, son. And I'll put a King James 1611 under your nose and prove you to be a cotton-picking, lying, egg-sucking devil of Satan, propagating a felonious gospel that damning souls and leading them to hell. Go on! Jump in that pool of water. I'll fill her up for you. I'll baptize you in Jesus' name. Tell me, my friend, will you come out of her? You'll be not a half bit different than what you was when you went in. No, I'm telling you one thing. If the Holy Ghost of God, I said, Taylor, if the Holy Ghost of God ever comes into your heart, you will not be the same as you was when He went in. Salvation is not me going in a baptistry. It's Jesus coming into my heart, dude, man. Remember how I was wicked, wasn't it, buddy? It's been a change, dude. What a wonderful change has been wrought in my life. since I jumped into the fire. Floods of joy in my soul, like the sea billows roll, since I have been
and I'm not climbing a ladder into heaven.
Praise God, I have the power to climb nowhere. Brother Jerry, I couldn't climb up, but hallelujah.
Yeah. 365 yeah. feet.
Brother Mark started to jump. I'm going to tell you, God put a wall of grace up. I like it. I pray to stay there all day, but I know y'all want to go eat your roast beef. They distort the way of salvation. They distort the way of holiness. They distort the way of obedience. I want to say fourthly, and I'm trying to close, that sin will make you like a devil. You ever been around a foxy pen? Johnny's a slick. He'll just slick. Ain't nothing goes. Where Bambi goes, nothing goes, buddy. Nothing. You ever see a fox pen in a tree? We have an old dog one time, old three-legged dog, tree one, fox in the tree. Thing back in there, he had the mane. That's their mangy fox.
Mangy sin! Rotten sin! Spoiling the bed! Boiling them, twisting them, knotting them up, drying them up, turning the thin knot, drying us out.
Dry us up, make us barren, unfruitful in knowledge. It amazes me that how smart we are in computers and how stupid we are in the Bible. We know how to get www. I wonder if we know how to get Jesus. Huh?
We know all about the internet. We know all about email. We know all about
ordering online and inline and offline and CDs and discs and all that mess. We can send a man to the moon and know no God. We can go to the depths of the ocean and bring up chips in a fragment, but we know no God. Spaceship into outer Mars and outer space and let them take pictures of Mars, but we have no knowledge of the Most High God. Yeah.